think because of a sunburn.
Okay.
It's 10 a.m.
10 a.m. August
6, 2026. Christmas sunburn.
We are here to have the communication and technology committee. Huh? All persons present at district meetings will place their cellular phones on device. Use the party call. And then other electronic and internet enabled devices are to be used in the silent mode. Under no circumstances will recording devices or problems associated with them be permitted to interrupt or delay district meetings. Okay, so that's the call to order. Comments from the public. We don't have, we don't have a public.
And the first discussion item, number three, is update on the website and social media.
Thank you so much. I'm going to look at Diane's screen.
To get there.
So what we're looking at first is Facebook. We had, I would have thought we'd have more people looking at it 4th of July. Big uptick here in the middle of July and then July 16th.
No explanation.
Pages, this is my new favorite thing here, but I'm just a little bit. Our biggest pages were the schedule for. Well, that's our biggest. With the internet back on.
Oh.
Looking at my page, it said the internet's back on. And then
we're back. Is
yeah,
that what you're talking
we're
about?
We're back exactly. And then the next two were the calendars.
What did we, what were we able to do during that internet problem? And did we, were we able to get any messages across to the community? No, yeah, I didn't
no.
think so. Yeah,
we couldn't answer the phone.
Right.
Yeah, for 2 days there was nothing.
And so, I spoke to you. I think. A week or so, maybe more ago, and we were looking at an emergency.
We picked one out that we loved, and so, you know, that ITS was okay with, and then the company came out to, oh, am I turned on? The company came out to install it, and it's a satellite internet, so when the fiber optic internet, which is what Greenfield is, goes down, it will automatically roll over to the satellite, just like when the power goes down, the generator automatically kicks on, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they could not mount it to our roof because we have a tile roof.
Oh.
So we are working on alternatives. We're thinking about putting it on the gazebo because it's flat. We can, and they just need basically a piece of wood
to
mount
the
this
top,
thing
yeah.
on. Yeah, and because the roof was built in 1992, and the roof is, I mean, knock wood, fine, not
stable.
Leaking. We don't want to put any holes or anything in those tiles. It's working.
Oh,
we don't want to fix it, right?
Tile roofs are very sensitive to a lot of different things.
That's what I heard. I've never had one.
As wonderful as they can be, maintenance-wise, if they're not installed right with certain felts and products underneath it,
okay.
then you have a big problem. And maintenance is, if it's just a broken tile, we have broken tiles, we have tiles, and so they're easily replaced. But if you have a roof with, I lived in townhouses, and so the roofs were managed by the Townhouse Association. And it was... It was a problem sometimes, and then after 30 years, we got roofs replaced, and so I happened to be living there when they replaced our roofs. But one of the biggest things is the what they call hog valleys around corners and valleys.
Okay.
Depending on the design of the house, and also.
If it goes in like this, like the flying nun.
That's called a hog valley, and you have to have metal
underneath there.
And the other Hog Valley problem is around, or not Hog Valley, but the other problem is around fireplaces and stuff, fireplace.
Okay.
Structures coming out of the roof. You've got to have that really well sealed.
So anyway, we're looking at, we still like this, they're called Viasat. And what we like about them most is it's not a rotating.
Bio, what was it?
SAT.
Oh, Biostat.
And is that it's not a rotating IP address because Starlink, which of course is, you know, the big one, is a rotating IP address, which means that for us, we need a constant IP address so that the gates don't have to switch on and switch. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't understand the internet.
So it's just an automatic thing when
yeah. And it would just come on when our internet comes off. We'd have a static IP address, so we wouldn't have to re-log into everything. And hopefully it can go on the gazebo.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to come back out and look at it again.
Great.
And he came out to install it, and I was like, yes!
Was that what we saw the other day? They were trying to do something on the roof, yeah?
On the...
Right.
No, that was for the nano beams.
Oh,
so
the nano
we have...
beams.
So the fiber comes into this building for Greenfield, mm-hmm. and then we have a nano beam which sends that signal to the warehouse, and
oh.
it sends a signal to, because there's not fiber optic lines, it runs mm-hmm. to the warehouse mm-hmm. or the waste or the water treatment plant.
Right.
Right? But there is fiber optic that runs from this building to the gatehouses. So we need a satellite internet to run from this building to the
mm-hmm.
most importantly, the gatehouses.
Right.
Crazy.
Well, that was not on.
So it's not easy, but that's what we are looking at. Now, this makes sense. The next page here for the website, that on the fourth of July, we had a huge upturn because everybody was on there looking to see
what the schedule was,
right? Which mm-hmm. really isn't our
purview.
And I didn't have anything posted about it, so. United States, number one, Singapore, China, India, Canada, all our friends from all over the world looking at us. Next, my favorite page here is, who do we look at? Paying our bills, thank you very much. The board meetings, employment opportunities, always a big one. Another at the board meetings, and access your accounts. So that's good to see. And then, of course, Boardman, Singapore, San Jose, Rancho Murrieta. Yeah. That is the report. Any questions?
No, it's interesting, though, that Singapore is the only out-of-the-country one that we have right now, right?
Yeah. Singapore. No, there are others,
but
Singapore is the big
too
one.
Too small, yeah.
Yeah.
Okie doke. Okay. Thank you, Amelia, and thank you for filling us in on the... The status of our satellite and
I'm hoping it's
emergency flip over. okay, the pipeline. How are we doing? What are we working on?
The pipeline, last month I was happy I got the whole, almost a full page article in about FireWise and FireSafe Council. Will you make a note to add that article to the Facebook and the website? Because I want everybody to know that there might be a reduction in their insurance available from that.
I'm sorry, I just lost my train of thought. Oh well. what else are we? You said something recently at another situation about the fire council, and we are a part of the fire council.
FireWise and FireSafe Council. Yeah,
okay.
Those are our two designations that we have. And
because we have it, people may be able to...
Get a reduction in
their insurance, or perhaps even get insurance, because I've heard of some people who've had their insurance dropped out here. So,
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, not a lot, but or there was a threat of being dropped. And
FireWise Community, California Fire Risk Reduction Community. are the two that we have the designations for, and the links to those are in the packet to get more information and get those certificates.
And we're putting that on the website?
Yes, she'll do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's great. All of those things that we come across and that we end up being able to give to the community are really helpful, that in particular.
And, okay. Of course, my front page news was the election.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So
I still have 6 people who are running for the 4-year seat and 2 people running for the 2-year seat.
Okay.
And same as yesterday, same that we talked about.
Do we put that up on our website? Do we? No. Okay.
No. And tomorrow's the last day.
Right.
Tomorrow's the last day.
Okay. And what kind of good news do we have? We did get one of the things that is good news is that the community responded to our outreach for the election and for board members, and a lot of board members did apply.
A lot of people applied to be more board members, but no current board members.
No. And just for the sake of discussion, the 3 board members who are leaving, as far as we know, are Tim and Randy and myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So those are the spots that need to be replaced.
And it's very typical that everybody waits until the last minute to
That is very, very typical. But again, I think the good news is that people actually from the community came out and got themselves registered to run for election.
And John?
John doesn't have to run.
John doesn't have to run. He's the only one.
If he chooses to stay, he can.
He will stay unless he quits. It's like a job. You're there for 4 years, and if you quit, then you quit.
I thought he was.
No, he's the only seat.
Stay.
Yeah. John's seat and Stephen Booth's seats were the 4-year seats that were elected in 2024. And when Steve left, Bill Geer came and took that seat. But because Steve left in the first
2 years.
In the first 6 months, something, in the first part of the cycle, that meant the seat went up for election just for a short-term, 2-year term.
It was appointed, if I understand it correctly, when you appoint somebody, you appoint them to finish out the term.
So it depends on how far into the term the original person is.
Right.
And because he was within the first 6 months of the term, that meant that it came up at this 2-year mark. Anyway, yeah. I work very closely with the elections department, and I do exactly what they tell me to do.
I believe you. All right.
Because I can't keep it straight.
What else do we have in the form of good news?
Yeah. So that'll
You know what I think is good news is that the emergency with Greenfield prompted us to look for what we were just talking about, emergency.
Yeah. I hope that I'll have the internet. We've already been talking about it and looking at it.
I'm sure true. But,
yeah.
You know, I think
letting
our community
on fire.
Know that we are actually in the process of finding a solution to the problem.
Back up. Lots of candidates.
Back
okay.
up, yeah. Okay. I'm trying to think of if we missed anything on the good news area. What else are we working?
We should be getting an audit report.
Oh, there we go. Let's mention
from the
audits
auditors,
again.
Right?
Yeah.
Auditors to report.
Hopefully.
Just we can just make a mention of the audits are proceeding as expected, and
we're working on the grand jury report.
Mm-hmm.
Because Gail was up asking at maybe the last board meeting, how come you haven't reported on that? Okay, here's my report. There's nothing to report.
I think maybe we're
working on it. Everybody's got their piece that they're doing on it.
I think that maybe people need to know that you have 90 days to respond, and we are in the process. of working.
Okay, okay.
Like, does that make sense?
Yeah, and it's due September 24th.
Okay, great.
So it'll be, like, we'll have final drafts by then. But we won't, we'll have it.
We may have it
sooner. Because the board has to vote on it.
Uh-huh.
So the board will vote on it at
in
the September 16th mm-hmm. meeting.
The board meeting is September 16th?
Yeah, it's my birthday. Is that your birthday?
Yes. But we don't need to talk about about how old.
Well, you're 24.
Yeah.
Or is it 25?
Well, it's 25.
I understand. I'm 22, okay. Not 21.
All right, so I think that those two are good issues to report on. People always ask a lot of questions. Put it on the website too,
okay.
And probably the Facebook page.
Okay.
Some of these things, I don't think we can give it out, put it out there too often. Okay. If you think of anything else as you come along, it's fine. Throw it in there. I was just thinking about the Facebook page. I hate to admit this, but I don't really look at it. And I don't know how, if that applies to most people, or I look at it once in a while.
No, I think that everybody looks at Beth's page.
Yeah.
But she, you know, she puts stuff up for me. And if I have something that's happening, like when we had the manganese, it was early on Sunday morning, and then I was texting her saying, I got something, I just put it up. Could you share it, you know?
Oh, that's great. Okay, so we're working with Beth on that kind
yeah.
of stuff. Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And she texted me the other day saying, do you think we should repost about the application for the board seats? And so I reposted that so that it was just top of mind for everybody.
Yes, just an aside, I think that that this has been a good approach, and thank you both for making sure that the information got out and everybody knew about it. And I think that's why we got as many people as we did applying. Okay. The community letter.
Oh, you know what else? I'll put in there that we are planning candidates night.
Okay.
Right? Because that's a big deal. Or maybe not.
Well, it's
if I serve punch and pie, it'll be a big deal.
It's a communication issue, so...
Oh, it is a communication issue.
Right.
Would the communication committee like to think about and give some direction to staff on how you would like that to be run?
Right. Yeah, I will think about it.
Okay.
And we'll discuss it.
It was in September last year.
Mm-hmm. They sent, in August, they sent the emails to each candidate requesting, you know, saying, you know, we're so excited that you are running, and we would like to meet, you know, to give you background and answer any questions you may have. And then they met with each...
Individually?
I'm assuming they did it individually and met with them. So I do have a bunch of stuff that I can send you.
Okay.
They did in the past.
Right. I do remember...
I'd like to have a group meeting with all the candidates. Because I don't have 8 half-hour to 45 minutes.
Oh, no,
you
no,
know,
no.
I can't do that. It would have to be everybody all at once.
It really...
And I'll do that in an evening. And I don't know that the board would be involved.
No.
Okay.
No, it doesn't. No. The board... I mean, the board can come, but it's not a board meeting.
It's not a board meeting.
No, it's
okay.
A candidates' night. So... Off the top of my head, I'm just thinking that, you know, each candidate should have a certain amount of time to, like, 3 minutes or whatever to express their platform. And I am not prone to renting a space or doing anything differently in terms of having this huge situation.
So you'd like to have the meeting here?
Yeah. And we'll fit as many people as we can in here. But if
how many people came the last time, Linda?
Well,
you're the
yeah, a handful of people came when I was elected.
Well, it would be if you have all these candidates to have them all sitting together, like having a panel, and then this is how they were, suggested they did it, the panel, and then there was a moderator, and there were questions already pre-made.
Yes,
and
right.
They asked the questions.
Right.
So they gave the directions, asked the questions.
And that was it.
And it was a panel.
Right.
So that, gives everybody a good...
And I'm not sure that it needs to be a question-answer thing. Maybe if there's somebody from the audience who'd like clarification, that would be okay. But
so you want audience participation?
I don't know. Not necessarily. That's... that could end up being a three-hour experience, and we're interested in hearing what the candidate's platform is. And beyond that, maybe if you have a question, you could write it down. I don't know. I think this needs a lot of contemplation.
Okay. And I would like to ask them all, once we decide
how we're doing
what
this.
Prepare a statement mm-hmm. about whatever. I would like to have them write that up for me so that I can post it on the website.
Absolutely.
And on Facebook so
Absolutely.
That everybody who can't come to the meeting has the opportunity to look at that and read it.
So we're off topic, sort of. So this is coming under the good news.
It is the good news.
Okay. So let's make
it's a... nice broad topic. I like it.
Right. Let's make a plan. For you and I to get together.
Okay.
And Diane?
And then we'll present the plan in September, right, at the communications meeting that first week in September.
And then October is from...
October should be candidates night because the
election
is
a month later.
November 3rd.
Well, we can make candidates night in October anytime we want to.
Yeah, we can make it the first week in October and then everybody has a chance to think about it. And... we will be holding elections here again this year.
Okay. Right.
For the foreseeable future, we'll hold elections here.
Right.
And that's my plan.
Okay. So when the meeting's over, we'll talk about when we can get together.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Moving on to the discussion item, community letter. I did put together some talking points for the community letter. And I will just preface this with the fact that this started off being a part of a thought process called living in a gated community or something along those lines, and trying to address the confusion around what security does and what the rules are and the fact that we actually have rules and a variety of things like that. And we got into, thanks to Brandon, we got into a variety of things, gate procedures, boat procedures, and talked about the concept of a magnet with phone numbers, et cetera, et cetera. So what I've put together here is just some of that information that we need to secure. And also, I was wondering, I think we did not get to have $3,000 in the budget to do this. Does anybody remember that? I asked Cecilia, but I haven't heard back from her.
I have a $5,000 spent.
I understand, yeah.
But if we have to, it's not going to cost us $3,000.
Well, if we add this...
The postage will be $1,500.
You think?
The postage... Well, that's how much it costs us to mail out the bill. The bill is $1,500 to print the bill.
Right.
And $1,500 for postage.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. Yeah. And so...
Every month.
And then...
So $3,000 for the printing and the postage.
Okay. So, and Diane, you said... what was it, $1,500 for a two and a half? Or
I sent you.
Oh, for the magnet?
I'm sorry, I didn't bring that with me. I should have.
I'm looking up there. Right.
right here.
It was for $3,000.
Right.
2 by 3.5 magnets. No, wait. Yeah, 2 inch by 3.5 mm-hmm. magnets, business card size. For 3,000 of those was $1,200 plus tax.
Okay.
Okay, so we're still under.
So a little bit bigger.
A little bit bigger was 2.75 inches by a 4.75. Mm-hmm. For 3,000 of those, it was $1,740 plus tax.
So okay. We're still under the 5,000 because it's going to be a little bit more for postage because the magnets weigh more than just the letter and the bill and the pipeline.
As if we can keep it at 5,000 or under, that would be great.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the most people will respond to that in the sense that, oh, we're getting something in the mail.
So you're looking at the larger one?
I am looking at the larger one.
Okay. Do you want me to have him just go ahead and send us an invoice instead of an email or a quote?
If he could send us, well, he already sent us a quote, right?
Email form.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. For the time being, until we actually get to the point of, ordering or whatever the case may be.
Okay.
So I feel like this is morphed into a little bit more than that, than more than a security issue.
I thought that was nice.
Oh, excuse me. Don't pay attention to that. And the reason for that is because there has been so much going on in the community and so much going on with the CSD board. So I was thinking about adding to the security perspective and actually doing a part of the letter that is addressing or even just putting out the information about what's happening right now with the board. We're having an election. We're hiring a general manager. We're hiring a director of water operations. We're, the structure of the CSD board will be fixed, or I don't know what would be a good word to describe it.
Well,
there'll be a new structure.
For
the board of directors.
Well, the structure will be the same, but the players will be different.
No, the structure's different from what we've been doing. The ad hoc committee, and we haven't had we've had the interim GM, but hiring, we looked at the one we're using now.
So the org chart.
The org chart.
Yeah.
Which is the structure.
It's the structure of the organization.
Right,
the
right.
Because, the board is the same. It's 5 members. It's one president, vice president. Okay, I agree.
Okay, so that's why I'm kind of suggesting that we start looking at this as a way to also communicate the history of the past year or whatever we want to, however long we want to talk about it and where we are. And participating in the election.
It might be an appropriate thing to add there about the infrastructure and where your money's going.
Right, right.
I would love to add, I would love that. Where's your money going?
Right.
And then put in there, $300,000 for the MEC, $150,000 for the drainage over at the country club. And you didn't come to improvements.
No.
He had, we've got sinkholes on Para Drive mm-hmm. and 4 big pipes there that are going to need to be replaced. Because we don't have the bandwidth to manage an RFP, the construction. We're asking Joe for another bid that'll come up to the board of directors just to manage the project, just to get the permits and right. And the first bid without his management was $42,000.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that's going to be
I think that understanding like you're saying, understanding, and I've often said this to my neighbors and friends, it doesn't cost us to fix a pipe. It doesn't cost us $10,000 anymore.
No, it's $100,000.
It's $100,000. And you have to recognize that everything has gone up, everything, and that's what the... That's what the new budget is about.
The one over at the country club was over $100,000.
Right.
And there was no road on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
There was no, you know, it was the simplest it could possibly be.
So you think it's a good idea to...
let them know where their money's going.
Let this, to morph this letter into...
I don't know.
Beyond a, well, I think it's, I don't, we've never done a mailing like this before that I know about.
Beyond what you know, need to know for security, who you need to contact.
Yeah, and that would be on the magnet and an explanation of all the security issues would remain the same in the in the letter.
Yeah.
But my thought process went to there's so much going on that has been communicated in one way or another to the community.
But a State of the Union.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
A State of the District.
Yeah. And...
Yeah.
I like that. No, that's a good way to put it. Yeah,
a state.
And especially in terms of we are making progress. We are moving forward.
Yeah.
I think that that's a good message to send out. Now,
no, I think the message is that everything that we're seeing happen now is going to continue and it's going to magnify.
We're making
And it's going to magnify. Because I have a sinkhole on Para from a 50-year-old pipe.
That's a specific issue.
I have 50-year-old pipes everywhere.
I get it. But that comes under one of the things that we want to communicate to the community.
Okay.
There'll be other things.
I think she was just trying to give hope at the end of the day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well,
and the truth is the grand jury situation will be finished. We'll know.
The audits are closing in. I'm being finished.
And the audits are closing in.
And the, what am I trying to say? The for lack of a better term at this point, just the restructuring, the movement from a temporary situation to a permanent situation in terms of. How the district is structured, we will have a director of water operations, and
yes.
You will get relief, and we will have a general manager.
Yes.
So it feels like, sometimes it feels like this has been going on forever, and I'm sure to the people who are involved, it feels like it's been going on forever and more. But a hopeful letter, a letter that's going out to, well, explain what's going on with security, because I'm not sure people understand, you know, what happened with security. So that's a vital issue.
Okay.
But to carry that forward and in the communication, just address some of the things that we've been dealing with and say there's movement. The audits are almost done. You know.
Yeah, so. which has really held everything up, because we can't think about a bond until
exactly
we get those.
So I can continue with that. I'm not sure. I would certainly want to get approval. We can't just send out a letter without, you know, having approval.
She's just really pooping my party right now. All right.
I mean,
I'm joking, of course. Yeah, yeah, of course. Otherwise, it's going to be a thing.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
We have to have the full
absolutely.
Board. So I'm trying to think of when that might be a good idea, and I'm thinking maybe October. We have a chance to put more effort and energy into it. I have a chance to put more.
And that'll be a chance for us to introduce the general manager.
Yeah.
Too.
Right. Right. Okay.
I like it. Okay.
All right. Brandon. Let's kind of flip back to the security part of it. Part of the reason for doing the magnet is so that people understand when a situation comes up who you should be contacting. And so I put, what did I put in here somewhere? Oh, contact numbers. Here we go, down at the bottom of the first, second page, third page. A refrigerator magnet, approximately 2 by 3.5. We're going to go a little bigger than that. Containing the following contact numbers: RMCSD office, the South Gate, the RMA, the sheriff, the highway patrol, and fire. And what we'll do in the letter is explain when you use those numbers. Does that make sense?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
And explain in the letter that if it need, that we can't report to, is that still true? We can't call in to the sheriffs.
No, I mean, if they took enough time out of their day to call security, they should have called the sheriffs first to begin with.
I think that's huge.
That we'll say in the letter. We'll say the best way to approach a need for the sheriff is for you to call them directly. I honestly think that if people call directly, they may get a better response.
They definitely would, because when at that time when they reported to us, we're the third party to
right,
it.
Like, right.
We're not at the scene. We're not there.
Right.
And, you know, that's how information gets misconstrued, you know.
So just make sure that we indicate that, you know, your best line of defense, I guess, would be contact the sheriff first. Don't wait for the security department to do that.
Right. Yeah, because I remember a time when I worked here the first time, they were calling us for everything.
They're calling us for everything.
Right. Medical, you know, so I mean, we don't have an ambulance.
I lost my socks, you know.
Yeah. I mean, for everything.
Yeah. Anyway, that explanation and breakdown of these contact numbers and when you use them, a lot of people don't realize you should dial 911 for fire. Mm-hmm. You don't call the fire department. You call 911.
Of course you call 911.
Yeah, but people don't realize that.
Oh.
Is what I'm saying.
It's an emergency.
Right. Okay. Just saying that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. What happens on occasion and what has happened in the past.
Is they call the fire department.
They call the fire department because it's right across the street. And then the fire, I don't know if there's a number. So, anyways, that they should call 911. Yeah.
I called 911 on the way home from work last week because there was a fire.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and then the highway patrol, I don't know that people understand when is a good time to call the highway patrol either. You may call the sheriff's department, but if it's an automobile accident or something like that,
you would call the highway patrol.
Yeah, right? I'm amazed that people don't just... If I saw an auto accident, I would just call 911. I would never...
I mean, yeah, and they'll transfer you to the highway patrol.
And then 911 transfers you. So I think that's the message to get out is if you see an emergency, whether it's a fire or a flood or a car accident or domestic violence, call 911. And then 911 is going to route you where it should go.
Yeah. True? Not everything. Not for everything. If something's happening inside the gate that's a violent situation, I would direct people to call the sheriff's department directly, not 911.
Brandon.
What would you recommend?
Well, so if you call the sheriff's department for a violent situation, it's a number, it's seven numbers.
That's what I'm thinking, too. Yeah. I know 911, I remember that. But then I have to go, oh, God, the neighbor's beating his wife. Could you just hang on
a
second?
Yeah.
I need to look up the number for the sheriff's department because I don't have that on speed dial.
911's automatic.
That's why we're putting it on the magnet.
Yeah. When you, if it's a something violent going on, I'll dial 911 first. They're going to have a dispatcher and they're going to transfer it to the sheriff's department.
Or wherever it needs to go.
All that stuff's getting recorded no matter what.
Right.
Through 911. They know what's going on. And
she knows where to send you.
Exactly.
And then she can also route the call. If you call the sheriff's department, correct me if I'm wrong, then they got to go, and then they have to put you in order.
If it's an emergency, 911.
Then why are we doing the magnet?
I don't know. Non-emergency calls, maybe?
Well, not an emergency. I mean, that's.
I would say it's to inform the community of the stuff that's like a non-emergency. So if it's like a non-emergency that's happening, you could include the sheriff's number on there. You can include the highway patrol's number on there, because they do take cold reports of break-ins and other things. That's, you know, that'd be a lot easier, and they're gonna more than likely when they do call the sheriff's department for like a for something that they wanted to report, they're probably gonna even direct them to go to. Go online to file a report on there. But
it sounds, for me, from my perspective at this point, it's sounding very complicated. And so I don't know. I just felt that people having the right number to contact, you know, the office, the South Gate, when the office is closed, and trying to direct people in the community because they don't know where to go, but telling people that to call 911 for everything, I mean...
For emergencies.
Yeah, emergencies only is the only time you'd call 911.
For emergencies, 911, but if, you know, if you're reporting a water leak and during regular business hours, after business hours, if you're reporting, you know, if you're reporting the trees falling down, call RMA.
The list of numbers is still a good idea to have.
Mm-hmm.
Having it for CSD, then, for RMA, and, you know, the various
the
numbers
club.
That you, you
yeah.
know, country club. And
well, what we could do is give them the numbers, tell them what each one of those numbers do.
Right.
But then suggest that in most situations your best and quickest response would be by calling 911.
In emergency situations.
In emergency situations.
Yeah, but
okay.
For like, but I mean, it's to clarify the difference between there's a pothole in the road. Well, don't call CSD. The tree fell down. Don't call RMA.
Call RMA.
So
right.
that they understand that those kinds of things RMA owns. We get calls every day. What was the last one I got? And it was like, well, I told you I got a call from. I had a guy come in here complaining about the internet. He's like, my internet's down. I'm like, our internet's down too. What do you know? Well, I can't work. I said, we can't work either.
Yeah.
You know, like, and he says, well, you're in charge of that. And I'm like, no, not at all. So helping people understand that CSD has, you know, we do what we do.
I think that the other thing that by listing the numbers and then giving an explanation, we can clarify what RMA does, what CSD does, you know.
Exactly.
And then the 911 in an emergency. Okay, that makes sense to me.
Okay, good. Yeah. Because I do think it's important. It'll cut down the number of times they have to say, okay, here's the number for RMA. And
right.
People...
We can make a statement.
People still mail their RMA bills here.
I understand.
Right?
That is exactly why I think that having this letter go out is an important service to the community.
I agree. I completely agree. Yeah.
Okay, so I've got that, and I'll work on that. A list of 10 to 12 CCNRs that are commonly enforced by the security gate and patrol. And so the first one we've already done, we already know about, is the gate procedure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then the second one would be the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not putting them in order of importance, just the gate procedure and the boat are, we've explained that to people once before or twice or however many times. But those are two pretty significant things that the gate has to deal with.
Yeah.
What else did you? I asked Brandon if he could come up with a few more.
Yeah, I had came up with like a running list of, by kind of compiling all the number of calls that my officers
mm-hmm.
deal with
mm-hmm.
Throughout the year. And it's not by priority or anything like that at all. But most of the common rules that we deal with are park hours violations overnight.
Wait, don't go. Park hours.
I could give you this
okay.
afterwards.
Okay, go through them, but just
okay.
go through slowly.
Yeah, park hour violations, overnight parking.
Mm-hmm.
We do traffic enforcement, being between speeding and stop signs.
Okay.
And then resident and guest access to common areas.
That's so when, a good one, yeah.
Yeah, with the...
They have to have a resident with them.
They have to have a resident with them in the common areas. Boat usage.
Mm-hmm.
And then juvenile curfew.
Oh, yes.
Noise and noxious activities.
Mm-hmm.
Fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
Identification and interference with CSD or RMA employees. And that's like when they're irate and yelling at,
yeah,
you
right,
know.
Right, right.
And then last but not least, animal and pet regulations.
Okay, those are great. Those are really great. And we want to list them separately on a separate sheet of paper that would go in this letter.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. If we could afford it, I would love to laminate it. But we can't afford to do that. So
no.
We can make it available at the front desk. We can make it available to RMA. They should put it on their front desk. Just the 10 or 12, whatever it is, most common CCNRs that our community needs to understand. There are rules.
Right.
And right. I would make a statement in the letter that while this, I mentioned this in the notes, a reminder that while this is a gated community, there are rules that will be enforced and residents will be fined for not observing these rules. There are also rules from the, for instance, the Department of Motor Vehicles that apply to driving within the community,
mm-hmm.
such as driving without a license and carts, et cetera. So I think that's kind of an important statement to make, just that. We're not without rules. You live here, and you know, and the common ordinary thing to want to do is live in a peaceful and calm community, and the only way to do that is to recognize the rules.
Right.
Okay.
I wouldn't mind when we're talking about golf carts, and this is just my personal,
mm-hmm.
about put your dang seatbelt on, buckle your baby in when you're crossing the highway.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. Or put it. Helmet on them. When you're driving a motorcycle, I saw this the other day. A motorcycle, and there's a 3-year-old sitting in front,
right,
in shorts and a short sleeve shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And I
in the community, or
coming out
of the community.
The community going to the grocery store.
Oh my God!
I almost threw up.
Yeah,
but you, I.
And
a lot of these people don't understand like the danger it is crossing that highway, let alone this highway that runs. It's a very deadly highway. Yeah. There's been multiple deadly accidents.
Sure,
and,
of course.
You know, to rely on these stop signs, thinking that they're going to save your life. A lot of people don't pay attention. I mean, just driving in the city alone, if you notice how many people do not pay attention, you should take extra precautions when driving across the streets here, or even operating anywhere.
Well,
you know.
There's that rule of thumb. Most accidents happen
within a mile of your, isn't it? A mile, yeah, of your home?
Yes.
What of those things that we were just discussing, like seatbelts? I think that's a rule. You have to have a seatbelt for kids.
Yeah, and there's also rules in the RMA rule book, like carrying of passengers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not having people in the bed of trucks and different stuff like that.
17 kids. Yeah. Hanging off the back of the golf cart.
Maybe sort of as a separate issue, we don't just say golf carts, but, you know, we maybe list the rules, the DMV rules, or, you know, you have to have a helmet on them, you have to have a seatbelt. Those are DMV rules. They're not just...
Those are state of California laws.
Yeah, state of California.
Yeah, they're not just rules. They're laws.
Yes, okay.
So
I think it would be good to identify the laws.
Right.
For the people.
And
it's
a law that you have to have a helmet on even if you're on your bicycle. Brandon, is that correct?
Right. Yes. I want to say past the age of 16.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be 16. And then once you're 16, then the helmet, you know,
is your choice.
Matter.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
For kids.
And then it changed with e-bikes, too. So now if you have an e-bike, if it goes over, I think, 25 miles per hour, even if you're 16, you have to have a helmet.
So. Okay, so I'm going to work
sorry for protecting you, America.
So, Brandon, what I'm going to do is we'll sit down and we'll go through some of that stuff before I present this letter. And I think maybe we can put that as a separate paragraph or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We can say golf carts, but then we can put an asterisk with it and say and identify a lot of these things, because there's a ton of there's a difference, and I have a whole folder about golf carts because this is my pet peeve when I started working on the communications committee, that people were letting their 9-year-olds, and they still do,
sure,
9-year-olds drive golf carts because the rules, they didn't get the idea or the fact that the DMV says, you know, you can't do that. You got to have a permit with a passenger, you know, I mean, an adult. Anyway, I think that, and nowadays, it's not just golf carts. I mean, a golf cart is a two-person cart with a space to put your golf clubs on the back, and you ride on the golf cart path. But now, they're really what they call them, REVs, I think, recreational.
Electric vehicles.
And they carry six people, and they've got big fat tires. And
I've seen them.
Yeah.
They're like little limousines. They're golf cart limousines.
Yeah.
Yes. So what I'm saying is that we don't just have golf carts for golf. Mm-mm. We have all of these REVs in here that are used as cars. Basically, they go across the street, you know, all of that sort of stuff. So, yeah, what I feel about this is that we're going to give you the information. What you do with it ultimately is your decision, but you really should have the information, particularly what's the law and what's a rule. So that's my whole conversation that I would like to communicate in the letter. Now, we're going to try to do this so that it's like a front and back letter, and then the CCNRs are separate, so it will be two pages.
Okay. Perfect.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make a suggestion.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with the magnets or the newsletters or anything like that. So I was just looking through on like a Facebook. I noticed that our Facebook page only has 565 followers. I was going to suggest that, you know, maybe we should have somebody that's somebody do our social media, like within the office, that's, you know, pretty kind of like tech savvy and get.
I nominate Brandon Areno.
I second that.
I was gonna say, you know,
all those in favor. Aye.
to try to get us more followers and more community engagement. Yeah, yeah, that way, they
yeah. No, you're when absolutely we, right. I mean, you know, we you should know, really the guys back there, if they're working on a project, you
go
know,
and video them, like
taking
you know,
a picture. We could put that up and say, you know, look at our guys hard at work.
This is the CSD at work,
Yeah, exactly, that way.
You know, you could take a picture of your guys hard at work, you know.
Make like skits, videos, and stuff, and you'll start to target more people, and then people will be like, oh, hey, let's see what CSD's doing. Let's see if they have a funny video on here today.
That is another great way to start building trust.
Yeah.
Within the community.
Transparency.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Here are the facts. Here's what we're doing.
You know, somebody coming in and just taking a picture of a committee meeting or a board meeting, and you know, saying, yeah, let's agree. Absolutely.
I think that'd be great to expand the use of that. That's kind of what I was wondering about when we were talking about the Facebook page in the past.
The Facebook page can definitely.
Would it be, instead of having just you guys trying to do that?
Yeah, we can't.
Pardon me?
We're full.
Yeah, right. So
I could go around and ask, there's people like in the front office that might be, you know, willing, like just certain people around here that, you know, throughout their day, maybe they want to take like a little funny video of something, or like, you know, people working, or even post a picture of one of us and then have us like say something about ourselves and, you know, get it out there to the community, you know, just little stuff like that to try to build a community engagement and stuff and get followers
that
and stuff.
That sounds like that is... Brandon Areno, security.
I'm not good at this. I don't have a big Facebook following.
Social media.
I could try.
Well, why don't we?
We could take him the social media officer.
Here's the.
I think so.
Here's the.
It's settled.
Because apparently he knows exactly how to do this.
He's brilliant.
Okay. So what I'm going to suggest is you guys continue to do what you can, you and Diane and Amelia.
Okay.
And then bring Brandon in, and then also talk to Travis, and so that maybe he could fill in some information on what they're working on. You know, does that make sense?
I wonder if Brandon has a middle of the night gate officer. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about this offline.
Okay.
Because I don't know what they do.
Anyway,
I mean, if you were to look at them at night, it's pretty boring. They're sitting there waiting for a customer for half the night.
So, but we're off topic. Let's talk about what were we talking about? We were talking about help me. Oh, the Facebook page, and how we could use the Facebook page for more transparency to the community by identifying the things that are going on and telling people about it. You know, this is your hard-earned CSD money at work. And if we can include a picture or, you know, when they're doing something, whether it's patrol or security gates or infrastructure.
Right.
So we can work on that.
Yeah, and I would too suggest too before anything gets posted that it gets approved by
someone. Someone, yeah, someone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Does that sound good?
I love it.
Okay.
Well, you have to just identify the person to do it, and then take the job description to the union and add those duties.
Well,
let's not make
it that complicated at this point.
Working for the state is really hard.
Yeah, I know. I understand. We'll talk about this some more and see how we can make that happen. But I do think that the Facebook page could be utilized for that stuff.
I think so, yes.
Okay. All right. Are we finished with item five? discussion item six is the Rancho Murrieta Resilience Plan. I don't have any new information about that. Have they contacted you, or have we contacted them in any way? Oh, I see. We've got the whole work session in there, their presentation. I wonder what the community knows about this.
I don't know that the community knows anything about this.
Well, they don't show up for meetings, so.
So they don't know anything.
So they don't know anything. This is a big piece of work. Let's think about how CSD is involved with this. What can we do to...
Is this the one that John was talking about he's involved in?
The Resilience Plan is a county... I want to say it's a county program grant.
Okay.
They got a grant. I may be wrong about that. It might be a state thing. In any event, there's a grant, and these people are... have put together this resilience program to figure out ways to get people out of Rancho Murrieta in an emergency. And that's what this is all about.
So it's putting together a plan.
Right. That's what they're trying to do.
And they haven't... Okay, so the plan doesn't exist yet.
No. They're trying to figure out. And it's for fire and flood.
Fire and flood.
I don't know what other kind of emergency they're thinking of, but basically it's those two issues.
So shouldn't the district be a part of that? Of that committee?
Well, no. The county's... I'm sorry. I'm pretty sure it's the county, and I don't know why. Sacramento County.
Okay.
Sherwood Design and Engineers. I will clarify that. Okay. Whether it's a county grant or a state grant.
One right here.
And we can be involved in it by getting our residents involved in it. The district basically would be putting information out there about this.
Right.
Okay? Does that make sense?
Right, right. Yeah, no, that's what I was saying. You know, obviously we need to know so we can put information out. It's
so
high risk for wildfire.
So we could do something in the pipeline and also on the Facebook page and also on the website that says, do you know?
Okay.
That this is happening.
Okay.
And like I said, I will find out. I'm pretty sure it's the county, but I'm sorry to say that I haven't put that in my brain. community work session. And alert, you know, tell the community that they have a voice and it's important for them to come to these meetings to get their questions answered and to...
So we can post this and let them know when and where the next meeting is. And
maybe make a brief statement about what the resilience, what they're doing.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
And I will find out. Like I said, I'm sorry. I haven't committed that to my mind. And maybe we can't put this in the pipeline, obviously, but maybe we could put a link on our website so that they could look at this. Is that possible?
Yeah, we'll put it with the article on the website and on Facebook, too. The link will be there.
Thank you. So I think that
we do have the technology to do that.
Okay, good. I think that would be the best way to approach this for now. Like I said, it is a grant. They are working on both fire and flood. And they're working on solutions, but the other part of it is knowing and understanding and counting or putting together something that works specifically for our community, given that we only really have two gate exits. And we have a third gate, but that has to be in an emergency. You have to have somebody there directing traffic and all that, not somebody from the community, somebody from, I don't know, Highway Patrol or wherever. It can't be, it has to be in a situation where they come and they start the, you know, they do the process. But it can't be a community, and it wouldn't be
us,
no.
Okay.
So it's a big deal.
It's a huge deal.
Yeah, it's a huge deal because we don't have a lot of exits in the community. We do have some others, but there's one on Bent Grass, if I understand that correctly.
Oh, I've heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you talk? Is that... There's a gate, is it?
Yeah, it's right there.
I mean, like Escuela is, looks like you're
right.
Going into the Buckingham Palace, right? Mm-hmm.
It's right here off of the highway, too. You have to drive through some grass to get out of it, though. But.
So it's not an official gate like...
Okay, like
it's
Escuela.
It's an access for a variety of reasons.
Yeah. I could be wrong. I think it might be like hard-packed gravel, but I haven't been over there in a while.
It's dirt road.
I remember learning about it when I first started here. I just haven't been back since.
The thing that they are that they're working on is, and what our responsibility is versus what they're trying to put together is that what happens in here to get people to the gate, that's us.
Mm-hmm.
And once they get to the gates, then the highway people take over, you know, and it's a state highway, the Jackson Highway.
Oh.
Oh, that's okay.
Just that would be flooded in.
Oof. Right?
Well, they have all the information.
But if there was a fire.
Yeah. It's a small access way.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be. Yeah. It's going to be a day that I'm taking off. Let's just say that.
The point being that they are not here to solve our internal problems. They are here to come up with solutions for what to do with the people once they're out of here. Mm-hmm. And we only have the Jackson Highway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are other roads, Scott and Kiefer. They talked about Kiefer, but Kiefer is a one step above a dirt road, and it has a lot of speed bumps on it, which is really great. But using those right. roads is a part of their discussion in here, and why it won't work.
And if part it was of, flooded, part of the, I would go that way.
Well, they address all of the if this dam levee breaks, if this levee breaks. Yeah, it's all in here. So giving the community an opportunity to look at this on our website is probably a really good idea.
I think so. I agree. Yeah. So that they can get started engaging
and
then encourage, in this and knowing
again,
what to do and knowing what...
Well...
Because once we've got it, once we're having a fire, it's too late to know which way to go.
And what this is the process of making a plan. And that's what the community can be involved in. So that when the plan is made and we're using the plan or about to use the plan or the plan is there for us to use, that people don't say, well, I didn't know about that, and why aren't we doing this, and why aren't we doing this, and why aren't we doing this? This is our opportunity to be involved. And to understand that there are actually people out there working on this, and that this grant is an important part of that.
Yes. It's a huge part of it.
When you find out when the next meeting is, when and where.
Sure, sure.
Just email me.
I will.
Let me know, and then I can also, we can post that.
With
to
this.
To the website and the Facebook and have Beth
right.
also post it.
Right.
And at least that can start getting people's attention if we keep it
mm-hmm,
fresh
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
every, you know.
Right, right. And I believe this has periodically come up in RMA meetings, and RMA, they along with the fire council stuff that they've worked on for several years at this point. Evacuation is a big part of that, and we did have. I remember this a few years ago. We did break the community down into areas, and there were people who volunteered in their area to contact people who need help getting out. Mm-hmm. But now that's, you know, people have moved and
well,
all that sort of stuff.
The village has put together a really nice evacuation plan.
Have they?
Yeah, and they have it to where everybody in their office, you know, they are
mm-hmm.
in charge of certain areas.
Right, right.
And, you know, so they're meeting at their little, I guess, country club, right? And everybody
their
has to come
their
in
community
and check
room.
In
yeah.
with them,
mm-hmm.
and they have the lit. Anyway, they did a really nice job with their
evacuation
plan.
Good. And at mm-hmm. some point, I'm assuming that all of this will be pulled together.
Yeah.
Okay,
well,
so
I mean,
I'm going to find out county or state.
Building.
County or state. The next meeting scheduled, and they usually have it either. Where have they had it? They had it at the church one time, and they had it at where did they have it at the RMA building? Possibly. Oh no, I was there. They had it at the villas. Not the village, but the villas has a community room. And,
oh, do they?
Yeah. And I think it holds 60 or more people. So.
And that's this one, 69.
Yeah.
We just made that up, though.
Oh, you
did? I don't. We've used this conference room for other things. I don't know if the Alcoholics Anonymous still meets here or...
In this room?
Uh-huh. Or
oh, just Alcoholics Anonymous.
Yeah.
Okay. And then probably quarterly, the Gardens comes in, the Gardens HOA, because they don't have a conference room.
Right, right.
So they come in and have their board meeting
okay.
here.
Okay, so we do use this room for other...
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you might we might want to consider...
Yeah, we could use this room.
Okay.
And I don't charge for that, especially if it's something that a CSD representative is involved in.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a $50 deposit for non-CSD.
Okay.
That I just
so
take
it's
the,
minor.
I take the check and I hold on to it and I just give them their check back.
At the
end. Like I don't even... And in my 7 years, I've used it for a graduation party maybe once.
Okay.
So maybe three or four times
so
I've used it for other things.
So we can use it, I guess.
Absolutely.
Is my point. Yeah. Okay.
I just can't use it for anything because I do have people want to use it to come in and sell insurance to seniors and all that.
Right.
But we can't do any. I'm not doing anything that's going to make anybody money.
Right. No. This is a community service.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what I would call it. Okay. Are we feeling comfortable with all this?
Yes.
I have my marching orders.
I know. We just come to these meetings to have more work to do, Linda.
I'm so sorry. I apologize.
Okay.
The good news about all of this stuff is that there's no deadlines. You know.
You're right.
We can work on this.
We can work on this, but we can still put our priorities of our PRAs and our
right. All of those things. All of those things.
Go first.
And I'll continue to assume the responsibility for getting information about this stuff and reworking things.
Cool.
Okay.
Love it. Yeah.
Thank
well, we do have a deadline because I understand that one of us won't be here after November. One of the people in this room won't.
I see. You mean because of the restructuring or the new org chart? Yeah, I understand.
No, I mean because I have, and I don't want you to say, but I believe you're not running.
Oh, no,
for the board.
Right.
So we do have to get this done before November.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We
that
have
was
to get
my
it done
plan.
Before November. Yeah.
That was my plan.
Because we can't pass this torch on. That, right?
Or whoever takes my place on the communication committee.
Mm-hmm. But so. You've been so passionate about particularly the letter.
There's no question about the fact that I want this done before the...
yes.
What do they call it? The change of the guard or
the
something.
The changing of the guard. There you go.
Okay. So I will continue to work on this. And I still haven't heard any news about my... The stuff I have to do to continue my...
Oh, so are we, any director comments, staff comments, and would you like to adjourn the meeting?
I would like
Madam
to
Madam Committee Member Leader?
I am still the chairperson of this
chairperson.
One.
Chairperson, I knew there was a
one
word.
Committee. Yes, the
We're
meeting
adjourned.
Is adjourned.
We're adjourned.